This week on Potlatch, the president of the Alaska Federation of Natives, Sam Keto, speaks about education in the bush and bilingual education.
Traveling round and missing you gets old. Think about you almost all the time. Wishing I had your sweet hand to hold. Loving you is always on my mind. Loving you is all I'm living for. Ain't nobody about to change my mind. For you have won my soul and my heart. Loving you is always on my mind. You're my friend when what I need is a friend. You're my loving when it's loving time. It's true, so I'll just say it again. Loving you is always on my mind. What I need is a friend. You're my loving when it's loving time. It's the truth, so I'll just sing it again. Honey, loving you is always on my mind. Loving you is always on my mind.
That was Roger Miller. Sam Keto visited the University of Alaska Fairbanks to speak to the Conference on Cross-Cultural Education in the Far North on November 9th. Since some delegates were from Norway and Sweden, Keto related this anecdote for them.
You know, I was raised in not a village. I was raised in a town in southeastern Alaska that was founded by the Norwegians. Peter Bushman was his name. And there's two things that I learned while I was living in Petersburg. And one was never ask a Norwegian who they got their independence from. And there's one question that you always ask the Swede, and that was, who did you give independence to? Which was the Norwegians. The town was predominantly Norwegian, and during the time that I was in high school and playing a little basketball, we had our own fight song that was written and composed by one of the local students in school there. And it went like this. It went, you know, like, here come the Vikings of Petersburg High, fighters like Vikings of old. And anyway, this one year we had 7 Indians, 2 Norwegians, and 1 Swede on the basketball team. They're all 5'9 and couple of them about 6'5". The 6'5"s weren't the Indians, by the way. And we went to a tournament one time in Juneau, and we took the basketball floor to the glorious tune of Here Come the Vikings. Well, while we were warming up, there was an old Norwegian that was sitting behind the scorer's bench, and he was out there looking at this blue and white basketball team with their blue and white jerseys with a Norwegian on the back of their warm-up jackets, and he called our coach over to him and said, "I got a question to ask you." And the coach said, "Well, what's the question?" He said, "The question is, are you sure these are Vikings?" You know, and the coach said, "Yes, this is the Petersburg Vikings from Petersburg, Alaska." And the guy looked at the coach and he said, "Well, I'll tell you what," he said, "Coach," he said, "they sure don't look like Norwegians to me out there." He said, "At least seven of them don't." And the coach looked back at him and he said, "Well, what's the matter, buddy?" He says, "You've never seen any smoke Norwegians before?"
Once again, Alaska Federation of Natives President Sam Keto.
Education is something that everybody learns, and it's a continuous learning process. And in 1973, it was after the Vietnam War and all the major wars and police actions were completed, and we were lobbying for one of our many bills that we lobby for in Congress, I guess. It's the only place we seem to get any solutions to our problems, other than maybe the court system and prolonged battles with the bureaucracy. But we were going by the Capitol building one day, and I think it was 73. And up about 20 steps were these two kids, and they had a wall of paper. It must have been 20 feet long, and painted on the paper was a sign. You know, and the sign said, "We're protesting," and what they were protesting was the war called peace. I think there's a lot of significance to that when you look at even during peacetime, we've probably got more major skirmishes going on throughout the United States and throughout the world, let's say throughout the world, now than when we ever had any of the one major wars that we happen to find ourselves in as a world. If you are consistently fighting a war, then I suppose if you draw a parallel, that education is a war too. And education is something that people will fight for and strive to find a conclusion. And the only conclusion that you're ever going to reach, I suppose, is to fight for more. And specifically, when you talk about cross-cultural education, there's two types of education that you have to be involved with. The first is not educating the children, but the first is educating the educators as to what specifically are the wants and needs of those that are going to be educated. And that brings into question, or brings into view, a definition of Native leadership. Now, I've used it before. I think it's very appropriate, because Native leadership, the definition of which is, that's a Native that doesn't know whether he's being followed or being chased. He knows that there are a number of people behind him, and these people are not always in harmonious agreement with what the leadership does. But there's a lesson to be learned in that too, and that is that people should look over their shoulder to find out what the people really want. Let me track a very short case history in Alaska about how we came to local control with the passage of Senate Bill 35 in the session last year that gave for the first time parents through the elective process the ability to control the educational institutions that have heretofore resided in their villages. In history, we had in the past sent our students not only across Alaska to go to school, but we sent them across the nation. We sent students to Oklahoma. We sent students to Oregon. We sent students across Alaska to Mount Edgecombe. But I think the more significant part of that is the one that you don't hear very much, and that was sending our students across the state to go to a school called Wrangell Institute. And what is Wrangell Institute, or what was it until it was phased out? It was an educational institution that dealt from grades 1 through 8, which meant it was a boarding home for students that started school in grade 1, leaving their parents in September, going to school and coming back in May. Now, in other societies, boarding homes are the plateau that people get to when they have enough money and they send their kids off in high school to finishing school to prepare them for a college education. But in Alaska and in the people that live in these villages, that was not the case. And so then what happened? Maybe there is something that should have been learned a long time ago by the leadership. We found our way through a series of events to local control for local education. This is the point that we should have been 20 years ago, for these parents electing their school boards, making the determinations about how a child should go to school. But no, what did we do from that point? We went to the Bureau. The Bureau of Indian Affairs at the time had some money. And the leadership amalgamated themselves, I guess, to say, we don't want to send our kids all the way across the country to school. So then was born a type of educational institution, which then was called the regional high school. Now, regional high schools then meant that you were going to get money for the dormitories to build dormitories in key locations within the state so that the children would not have to travel too far to go to school. Well, even in the final stages, while the dormitories were being built, one in Bethel, one in Nome, one proposed for Sitka, one proposed for Fairbanks, was there then a look over the shoulder to something that was already happening. And what was happening was, we were already thinking in the villages, or they were already thinking in the villages, that they wanted to have area schools rather than regional high schools. So that meant that there had to be a change in the direction. And that meant that what would you do? The next thing that you do then is to stop the regional high schools from being completed. Do not expend the money for the dormitories, but then move into the area high schools. Well, we even had to have some people that were legislators that had to go home during the course of the building of dormitories for area high schools to really get the pulse of what the people in the villages in Alaska and rural Alaska were thinking. Once the area high schools were developed, then there was a move to do away with the last two regional dormitories. So we then moved into area high schools. And from area high schools, we now have the Senate Bill 35, which talks about local control in 21 local school districts. But there's one alternative that's going to be necessary in order for all the systems to operate. And in Anchorage, and there were a number of people from the local school districts that were meeting, and what they were talking about was the serious problem of developing a curriculum that crossed the wide expanse of learning how to trapping in a village, or hunting and whaling, or whatever they may do when they get out of school, to a student that wants to become a doctor. Now, what are the flexibilities then that you have to develop? You have to develop a flexibility that says that this student then, one student, if he changes his mind, to have another alternative to go where there is some academic excellence, where he is going to be able to go on to college. And I suppose that if one is going to predict that the boarding home program that is now in existence would probably still be viable as an alternative, but only after a very significant thought by the people in the villages that are running those school districts find that there is an alternative. But once again, that's going to mean sending their child away from school. There are teachers out there now that are perplexed about how do you develop a curriculum. Well, somebody had better get on the ball, I suppose, and start looking at it. And I don't think it's just in the Department of Education. I think that it's also in the university system, integrating your REAs in the development, curriculum development for delivery to the student out there in rural Alaska, through the learning centers, both in the Department of Education or the statewide Department of Education or the University of Alaska, to pull together a curriculum development system that utilizes the learning centers to provide the opportunities that are going to be necessary for a education that's going to be responsive to who the people, to what the people say. It said that leadership or school boards reflect what the people want. Well, I think we're coming very quickly to the crossroads that say, yes, we will be reflective of what you and the local community have said. And that curriculum is going to have to effectuate the retention of the cultural values that the people hold very dear.
Your world was so different from mine, don't you see? We just couldn't be close, though we tried. We both reached for heavens, but ours weren't the same. That's what happened when two worlds collide. Your world was made up of things sweet and good. My world
fit in. Wish it could. Two hearts lie in shambles, and oh, how they cried. That's what happens when two worlds collide. Your world was made up of things sweet and good. My world could never fit in. Wish it could. Two hearts lie in shambles, and oh, how they cry. That's what happened.
Unaal umioqneraji programmerilputi pikaati Janik nitukufti igaranaqarputwani KUAC University of Alaska Fairbanks Alaska.
Here we are in Alaska in 1976, and we have moved from what has happened in the past, where parents used to send their children out of the room before they spoke their native tongue, which happened when I was growing up, to the point now we are talking about developing a bicultural or bilingual system that talks about the native language as the second language, when in fact we should have been looking in the past, in the present, in the future to the native language as the first language. And it should have happened a long time ago. We're in a process now, I suppose, of making some changes where these cultural values are going to be adhered to. During the time when the bilingual programs were just starting to develop a impetus in the state of Alaska, there was a concern by some in Alaska, non-natives in Alaska, and even some of the natives in Alaska, that the bilingual system, if it was integrated into the educational systems in the state of Alaska, would develop into too much nationalism. Examples that I heard during the course of looking for funding for bilingual programs was what happened in Quebec. Everybody knows the history in Quebec. They're very much separatist, they're very much nationalist. And they felt that if there was too much emphasis on the native language as either the first or the second language, or for the matter first in the state of Alaska, that there would be a very significant separatist movement. Well, I think these people in their minds are very radical. You know, I find it difficult for arguments like that when I was on the school board in Fairbanks, and we didn't have one native language course there, but we taught 4 years of German and 3 years of French. You know, but these were needed to get on, you know, get into college, because once again you get to the peer level that says the educational institution responds to what the people want. Well, it's bad, because what happens in our educational institutions in high school in the state of Alaska now is essentially this. 80% of the programs that exist in the high schools throughout the state of Alaska, and for that matter throughout the United States, are geared for the 20% of the students that go to college. 20% of the programs in the system right now are geared for the 80% of the students that never go to college. But why does it happen that way? It goes right back to the parent. In this instance, I think the parent is the one that is in error, because the parent has always got a determination in his eye or in his mind, in his thought process, that little Junior is going to be a doctor, he's going to be a lawyer, he's going to be a chemist. And so what do? Is they develop the curriculum and send all these kids into the school with the goal that everybody's going to college. You know, and I think that as we develop our educational institutions, both on a statewide level with the university system or the local school districts, that you should listen to those people out there. because they're not into the materialistic values that we throughout the state are into right now, that say that the goal of quality education is to send the graduate to college. You afford the opportunity. They would like to see the opportunity out there too, and I think you can handle both. And I think it can develop into an educational process that does provide the opportunities for a person to be successful in whatever endeavor he wants to. You're going to fight the system. We fight the system every day. We fight the system for certification. What does certification mean? It means the teacher gets a little piece of paper that says that he is now a certified teacher. And that's done by regulations. You know, you've got to have so many hours of college, and you've got to have so many hours of teaching, and you know, you set that level. But what we have to do to the whole process is bend it a little bit so that the final result of what we're about retains the cultural educational process, the educational values, the cultural values of a people. And these can be integrated into a whole system, a network of education that culminates with the possibility of a student graduating from college. Develop that opportunity.
The outgoing president of the Alaska Federation of Natives, Sam Keto. Now, Michael Nesmith.
Well, you and I travel to the beat of a different drum. Can't you tell by the way I'm wrong? Every time you make eyes at me, yes, you cry and moan and say it'll work out. But honey child, I've got my doubts. You can't see the forest for the trees. Now don't get me wrong, it's not that I knock it, it's just that I am not anymore for a girl who wants to love only me. And I'm not saying that you ain't pretty. All's I'm saying's that I'm not ready for any person, place, or thing to try and pull the reins in on. Find a man who will take a lot more than I ever could or can, and you'll settle down with him, and I know that you'll be happy. So goodbye, I'm leaving. I see no sense in you crying and grieving. We'll both live a lot longer if you live without me, babe. All go red. If you live without me, woman, if you live without me.
Potlatch is produced by KUAC under Title I of the Higher Education Act.